Hello, and thank you for listening to the Skeptics in the Pub online podcast. This unedited audio is taken from Skepticamp 2024 and was recorded in front of a live audience in Manchester on the 18th of October 2024. A video of this, and many of the recordings hosted by Skeptics in the Pub online, are still available on our YouTube channel. We hope you enjoy this podcast, and if you would like to support what we do, you can join our Patreon. Find us at Patreon, Skeptics in the Pub, online.
Okay, first introductions. Right next to me, the wonderful Cleo.
I need to introduce the man who's actually looking after me today, Gerald.
That sounds so weird.
I quite liked it, actually.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Second session, we don't have, unfortunately, we don't have any subjects link well together. So we can't talk about number one, number two, number three, whatever that would be. So we'll be stepping right into it. That's a good one. Okay. That was not planned, but I like it. First speaker today. We are very happy to welcome Andrew Taylor. And he's going to let us know why your computer is like that.
Hi. So first things first, this is not everything wrong with the tech industry, because that would be a three-hour angry rant. That will be available in the bar later, but for now, this is just some weird ideas that kind of permeate the tech industry. And when I say the tech industry, the first thing you have to understand is it's not really about tech or industry. It likes to present itself as being full of, like, very rational, smart, liberal engineers at the top of their game, but, like, actually the people who run the industry are, and I don't like to drop the C-bomb this early in the talk, a bunch of capitalists. Which, like, makes sense, right? Because if you think of tech companies, you probably don't think of Boeing, whose products let people fly, usually. But you probably do think of Uber, who are a taxi firm, right? And this happens all the time. Like, WeWork pulled the same trick. You watch this video. It's half an hour of an accountant talking about an office rental firm, and it's amazing. Like, WeWork are absolutely wild, but for the purposes of this talk, they build themselves as a tech company so that regulators would leave them alone and so that tech investors would give them $22 billion. And they keep doing this, these billionaires, right? They give the fake juicer $100 million. They give Theranos $700 million. Their product never existed. The crime bank got $2 billion. This smartphone with only one app that doesn't work got $60 million. This thing had sales that were negative if you subtract returns, and it got $200 million. OpenAI have got $16 billion of investment already, and, like, you might be thinking, oh, hang on, OpenAI, but all those other companies never made a profit, but OpenAI, everyone uses OpenAI stuff, right? They're a real tech firm. Like, sure, but while I was writing this talk, that $16 billion ran out, and they had to go back to the investors, so it's actually now $22 billion. And, like, they're all like this, right? Because it's not a meritocracy. The billionaires aren't clever. But kind of the whole industry is like this. We like to think that, all right, the billionaires, they're all a bit right-wing. What do you expect? But the rank-and-file devs, those guys are nice kind of liberal engineers at the top of the game. They're very rational. And, like, not really. Like, there's a lot of cargo cult thinking in it, I think. Facebook is worth $1 trillion, so we all build our apps like they're Facebook, despite the fact that we've all used Facebook, right? It's not a good website. It's not a good app. It's been implicated in at least one genocide. It's like, we just do this stuff. But, you know, so the weird ideas that the billionaires have, first of all, some of them are accelerationists. They believe that the world is going to, kind of, society will collapse soon anyway, and that's a good thing, and we should hurry it along. Absolutely wild. And a few of the others are big into Tescreel, which is like a bundle of different beliefs, which sort of, each one of them is kind of fine on its own, but they Voltron together to say that one day there will be countless trillions of simulated human minds living in spaceships forever in paradise. And that therefore, like, if you add up all of that happiness, it's such a big number. that that's the only thing that matters, right? Don't waste your money feeding starving children. All of your charitable donations should just go straight to Sam Altman, you know? It's genuinely, this stuff is absolutely wild. But, like, let's drop down to the kind of rank-and-file people, because, like, the engineering decisions that people make are weird. Like I said, we build every app like it's Facebook. Let's explain what I mean. Oh, that's the Facebook genocide slide that I said out of order. It's fine. So this is the build process for Cell Tower. Like, version one of Cell Tower, how I got it to be a thing you can play on your phone. I wrote the files, and I copied them to the internet. And that's it. It's all just text files, right? I love that. There's no barrier to entry. You don't need to install any software. Anyone can make a website, and it's fine. But the tech industry has kind of erected a barrier to entry because we want to pretend we're all working at Facebook. So here's how, like, a real engineer would have built it. We're going to start out with React, and we're going to need something to make it be a website, and then we're going to need something to run our build process and something to manage our dependencies, and we're going to need something to install all of that, and to translate it from all that into something you can actually run, we use a tool called Babel, which is named after the fish, but the tower would have been a better metaphor. It also comes with Webpack and TypeScript for good measure. And because all of that's, like, quite a lot to manage, we don't install it all at once. We put it into a bundle, if you will, called Create React App. That Create React App. And that also comes with eat, shoots, and leaves for JavaScript, essentially. Not one, but two CSS preprocessors. And if you hate both of those and yourself, you can use Tailwind. This is just the standard stack that we use now for simple apps, and it kind of boggles the mind. Let's actually, because I'm not saying all of this software is bad, except Tailwind. Let's talk about Tailwind, because I think it's kind of a simple, easy to understand example of the weirdness that we do. So back in the day, we just had to say, oh, this thing's bold 24-point sans serif, and this thing is bold 24-point sans serif. Individually for every element, and that was annoying. So we invented CSS so that now we can just say, well, headlines are bold 24-point sans serif, that's a headline, done. And then Tailwind says, well, what if instead of defining headline, we just define bold and sans serif, and then we can just write it on the... But that's just what we had before, but now you have to write all of these classes. Do you know how many of these classes are defined in Tailwind? I do. And, like, to be fair, not all of this complexity is shipped to the end user. A lot of it just stays on the dev's laptop. I mean, not all of this, obviously, because it would explode, but a lot of it is shipped to the end user, right? Do you know, like, when you run Create React App, it generates a little blank app that doesn't do anything. And that app is twice as much JavaScript as any of my games to do nothing. It's sort of weird how much of this there is. And people do this not because it's necessary. Sometimes it's necessary, but most people do it because they don't know how to do anything else. This is an example, just to illustrate a point, right? This is a reconstruction of some source code that I really met at a job that I had in the past. And the job of this code is to make sure that you can't submit a form without agreeing to the terms and conditions, right? So when you check the checkbox, so there's this form, this function is stored in state, which is bad practice, and passed to the checkbox, which is bad practice, which is called when you check it, which calls this, then this, then this, then this, which does nothing, it just returns the input value, which comes all the way back up here, which modifies this set of invalid elements that gets passed to the button and re-enables it. And I was tasked with fixing a bug in this, so I deleted all of it and replaced it with the required keyword, which has been built into all web browsers since 2011. And the person who wrote this app didn't know that. In fact, I should have gone further and deleted all of the JavaScript and just put HTML in, but I wasn't being paid that much, honestly. And this is the sort of weird thinking that I want to kind of get across, right? Because there is a use for this stuff, right? I think probably 5, generously 10% of apps need this stuff, but yeah, 40% of developers use React every day. This is the Stack Overflow developer survey, I think. This is devs who use it. It's not percentage of the internet, but you've got to assume it's about the same, right? And yeah, this is kind of just how everything is for no other reason than it's how everything is. And you want it on your CV, so you build it that way. It's like don't dress for the job you have, dress for the job you want. But it's like, don't build for the customer base you have, build for a hypothetical billion users that you might have one day. And it really doesn't make any sense, but we do it anyway. So yes, the tech industry is run by billionaires who want to destroy the world and who believe that we can save humanity by uploading our minds to spaceships to live forever in paradise. Developers have regular meetings that we literally call rituals. Developer evangelist is a real job title, and sometimes we make pilgrimages to conferences where we hear our glorious leaders talk. Actually, that last one's a bad example. Forget that bit. But yeah, like I said, I don't want to drop the C-bomb in this talk, so I've done you a picture instead. yeah, and that's all I've got.
Thank you, Andrew. It was late, but we got some questions in. So, the very first from Evan. Where do the billions go? Connecting users to spare rooms, taxis, food? As you say, simple. Does the money get littered away by business vultures, marketing?
Well, there's a few places that the money goes. The main one is expansion. The idea of this is it's venture capital, right? So you invest in a business and your aim is that the business should grow and then you sell it. So none of the companies I mentioned, except like Uber and Facebook, made any money. At any point, none of them posted a profit. What they do is all of the money that they make goes into expanding. So WeWork would rent office buildings, and all of the money that they got, whether it was from funding or from just actual income, was reinvested into renting more and more office buildings at increasingly unfavorable rates. So most of it just went to corporate landlords in that case, and a lot of it allegedly made its way into the CEO's various other companies and accounts. like, I think he was running a company that WeWork spent quite a lot on to do other things. So, like, the money makes its way to various people along the way, and it depends a lot on which company it is. Some of them invest it in trying to grow. Some of them are just scams, and someone's pocketing it. It really depends, but it's very easy to spend a lot of money if you are trying to, which they quite often are, because that looks like progress to investors, I guess.
Okay, thank you. Next question from Katie Faye. Do you have a favorite programming language or coding language?
That's tricky. Like, I find most of them tend to annoy me in different ways. I do most of my programming in JavaScript, which is decent. I know it well, so I quite enjoy using it now. I don't necessarily think it's the best one. There's a lot of kind of new modern ones that I just don't use because I'm a web developer that seem like good. But yeah, I think my favorite would be one of the esoteric ones. There's a lot of really fun ones where people have defined programming languages just to mess about with. I did try building one myself where every program is like takes the form of a pride flag and the colors of the stripes, instructions for the computer. I didn't get very far with it. Maybe I should resurrect that project at some point.
Igor's question fits very good to your last answer. Okay, but didn't this complexity creep help a little bit with at least something, maybe lowered entry barrier? Or will we be better off if we destroy JavaScript entirely?
Oh, we definitely should destroy JavaScript. There is a place for this stuff. Like, JavaScript is a tricky language because it doesn't have types. So, like, putting TypeScript in makes a lot of sense. And the moment you've done that, you do need something to compile it. There are simpler ways of doing this. Like, the disclaimer, if you didn't spot it, I did put a bundler into Cell Tower eventually to solve a caching issue. Yeah, there is a time and place for all of this stuff. None of it is, like, intrinsically bad except Tailwind. But it's about using it kind of deliberately because you need it to solve a problem and not just kind of throwing it all in for the sake of it. Like, most projects need, like, two of the stickers off my laptop, you know? And they mostly have all of them. That's kind of the main reason I bring it up. Yeah, a lot of it is useful, and you do need a bit of complexity in the real world. But, yeah, for the sake of a slightly hyperbolic talk, I'm just glossing over that.
Good. Thank you, Andrew.
That was the Skeptics in the Pub online podcast. For more sceptical content, including information about future talks, please like us on Facebook, follow at SITP on Twitter, or head to our website at sitp.online, where you'll also find a link to all the ways you can get in touch with us, including our Discord server. Music in this episode was provided by Thula Bora and used with permission. Until next time, thanks for listening.